goals for this year. For this, not just this year, but long-term speaking. And I want to show you a couple things tonight. I want to lead you in a couple things. But also, I'm going to kind of let you know a little bit about us. Why are we here? What is SHIFT? What is the purpose of SHIFT? What is SHIFT's mission statement? We're going to go through that mission statement. We're going to talk about each little section of that mission statement tonight. And I hope that you'll see the purpose of why it is that we're here. You know, I heard Pastor Jim one time tell me, and it impacted my life so much. And I don't want this to say that, you know, churches in general are arrogant. But so often, people in the church of God, people in the house of God, come to church thinking that church is there to please them. But in reality, we're there to please God. So church isn't about us like that song. It's not about God doing things our way, but rather it's all about Him. So tonight I want to show you a little bit about SHIFT and the reasons for SHIFT. The reasons that Pastors Dan and Jessica started SHIFT 8 years ago. The reason that Pastor Joseph and myself didn't change the mission statement, even though we had considered it when we took over, to turn over a new leaf, and we're going to go through it. And then after that, I've got three simple things that we're going to lead into what we're talking about in the future. Three different areas. And I believe that even as we cast these areas as far as vision for the young adult service, these areas apply to your life, to your walk with God, to your own personal walks. And that's why, as you see on your chairs and on the table, we printed out a simple card. There's not much to it. There's a couple of lines, and it just says, "My personal vision for 2012 is." And I want you to kind of hear the message tonight. I'm not telling you to drop that off and put it in the offering bucket. That's for you to write it. But also, what can you do to impact the world and those around you this year? Because we're going to read some verses out of the Bible tonight that are very simple, that we've learned. And those of you who have been in church since your childhood know these verses very well. There's songs written about them. So they're simple verses, but at the same time, they show us where we ought to go. They show us what we ought to do, the grand scheme of it all. So I want you to just kind of ponder that, even if you fill them out later this week. But I want you to not forget to do that. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I'm going to put a verse up on the overhead in the Old King James Version. And this is Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse number 18. In the Old King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Now, some of your New Testament Bibles, or your New King James, or your NIV translation Bibles, have a little bit of a different translation. The New King James says, "Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." Where there is no revelation, revelation meaning word from God. Where there is no vision. You know, back in the days of the writer of Proverbs, There were prophets. Prophets were the ones, the middleman between God and the people. Prophets were the one that the priests would go in and make atonement for the people. And the prophets were the ones that, you've heard the stories about Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel and Isaiah and all the different things, and how they foretold the future and how they would tell, you know, about God would use them as a vessel to say, listen, most of the time he used them as a vessel to say, dude, stop what you're doing, follow me. And here the writer of Proverbs says, listen, if there's no revelation, if there's no word from God, if you're not hearing something from God, whether it be from church, from your own personal life, you cast off restraints, the New King James Version says. It's like you cast off those shackles. Now, let me tell you this, right now, right off the bat, Christianity is not a shackle. But the Bible uses as an example, it says you've cast off those restraints, those things that once held you back, because we've all been there. We've all lived in this body. We know that our flesh wants things that aren't good for us. The world tells us that there are things out there that are awesome, that the Bible, that the Word of God says are contrary to our well-being. So when we have no word from God, it's like we cast off those shackles and we go out and do whatever it is that we want. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about vision. We're going to talk about SHIFT. We're going to talk about what we're going to do this year. We're going to talk about, but in these things, I want to emphasize, I want to stress, I want to push to you that this is also not just about a service. This is not just about the 120 some people here tonight. This is about each and every one of your lives and the visions and how you can apply the three things that we're going to talk about, the three categories of where we're going, how you can apply them and do something for the kingdom of God this year. Because ultimately, like that song says, we couldn't have had a better song for a night like tonight. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. That's the bottom line, guys. Whether you like it or not, It's not voluntary. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, if you want to do something for the kingdom of God, guess what? It's not an option to sit back and be quiet, but rather to do something for God. It's just the bottom line. I love Mike Keyes, a missionary, an apostle in the Philippines, one of those that we have at the church often. One time, I remember he was preaching a couple years ago, and he was talking about one of the pastors that he had founded with a church, and the pastor was coming to him griping about the hardships that he was facing, just living a life of God. And he looked at the guy and he said, "Listen, man, who told you this was going to be easy?" Because the bottom line is this is a narrow path. Pastor Joey talked about that. Narrow is the gate, but broad is the road to destruction from Jesus Christ. You know, this is a narrow path that we chose, but I tell you what, if we grab a hold of these things, we grab a hold of the Word of God, we grab a hold of the vision, the insight that God has given for us tonight in our own lives, as well as this service, I tell you what, this is not going to be a house of 120 people. This is going to be a house of 500 people, of 1,000 people, of 5,000 people, but we're going to talk about that tonight. And I'm not just talking about growing shift numerically. That's great. You know, every pastor wants numbers. Pastor Debbie was in there talking about God hates empty seats. You know what? We've laid out this service so that there are actually very few empty seats tonight. That's great. As a pastor, love it. But let me tell you something. What I would rather see more than empty seats is I'd rather see effective ministers of the gospel each and every day. Because the bottom line is Pastor Luke, Pastor Joe, Ari, you know, Stacy, Marnie, whoever it is, Antonio, we can't go out to the highways and byways every day, all day, and reach the people that you know. Only you can go into those doors. And you know what? Numbers come from effective ministers of the gospel getting out there to their circles of influence and doing something for God. Then numbers come. So I'd rather see you healthy, you strong, you built up in the things of God, because that's how numbers come into church. It's not about TV ads. It's not about, you know, what we put out on the internet. It's not about that. It's about you, your relationship with God, and then people. Like Jesus said, you're the light upon a hill, the salt of the earth. Joey's laughing at me, looking at me with this grin, because that's like my staple for whatever. You know, that's my staple statement. But that's what Jesus says about us, that we're the light on a hill, we're the salt of the earth. Why? So that the glory of God might be shined to each and every person around us. We are reflective of God's glory in our lives. And when we do that, our mission in life is fulfilled. That God be known, that God be glorified. You guys with me tonight? So when there is no vision, the people perish. So I want to start tonight with why shift. Now, this part of the message is not necessarily a sermon, but more like a keynote. Now, I'm not Steve Jobs. I don't wear a mock black turtleneck, you know, and I don't have the cool big screen behind me that's you know, cute. And so it's not going to be all high tech and stuff like that. But I believe that this is informative, and I believe that your eyes are going to be open to what it is that we're doing here and why are we doing it. You know, we could just say, oh, we have shift because we wanted to do something for young adults. Boom. All right. Great. That's the gist of it. But now let's get into the real meat of it, all right? You guys with me tonight? So I want to say this. I'm going to ask you a question. Why have shift? Well, let's see. I'm going to put up our mission statement on the overhead. The mission statement of the Young Adults Ministry is this: to provide a service that reaches young adults, gives them a positive environment to grow in their relationship with God and others, and transition them into active membership at the Rock Church. That's why we have shift. That's the reason. Because it's a service that reaches young adults, that gives them a positive environment to grow in their relationship with God and with others, and transition them into membership at the Rock Church. Now I'm going to go through that mission statement a little bit more in depth, other than just reading to you. You can say, Pastor Luke, that's great, that's grand. That's kind of more something for you and your interns to know, right? Great. But now that you know what our mission statement is, what you know what your mission statement is, when you invite somebody to this house, when you say, look what God has done in my life, hey, why don't you come check it out, because we're going to go do this tonight, or we're going to have this special event, or whatever it might be, then now you know what the mission statement is. It's to have a service for young adults. Why? So that we can have a positive environment to build their relationship, to grow their relationship with God and with others, and transition them to active membership at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And I'm going to tell you why that tail end is important. So first off, it's a service. Hello, we're sitting here, we just sang 3.5 songs. Technically, I guess it was like 4 songs or 3 songs in a vamp. Here's the guy up here speaking at a pulpit. You're sitting there, you've got your Bibles in your hands. We're going to have offering and announcements and an altar call. That's a service. Boom. Hello, right off the bat, right? But I want to say this, I want to emphasize this to you about the Young Adults Ministry here at the Rock Church. It's a service. And through a service, that means that there's one important thing. That means that the word will always be taught in this place. This isn't a place for us to get together and just high-five each other and say, man, I'm glad, you know, I tell Kyle all the time when he wears the flannels, I say, man, you look good, because he's real scruffy. It's not a place for us to say to our friends, you look good, or hey, what do you want to do after service? It's not just a common meeting ground. This is a service. This is a place where every time we meet in one form or fashion, doesn't matter, and then we're going to get into this a little bit more, but every time we meet in the name of shift, whether it be an event, whether it be an activity, whether it be an outing, whether we be here, the word of God will always be talked about, because that is our first and foremost purpose. Otherwise, we could go and have a great time and have a little gathering at Augie's coffee shop in Redlands or something like that, and we could all be Indian and talk about how great and how grand the things of God are. But know what? This is a service. So every time you come, you can know that the word of God will be preached. Even if it's a special event where there may not be a message, even if it's an event where we may have people talking in groups together, you will know that every time you come, you will hear the word of God. That is our promise, that is our pledge, that is our dedication to why we are here. Going on, young adults, a service that reaches young adults. That second category, this is probably the most heartbreaking thing that I have read. This is probably some of the most dismaying news that I have looked into. How many of you guys were raised in church, I don't know, from teenagers, from 16 or up? How many guys, or even older than that, if you've been raised in church, you've been a part of your church through your teenage life. Now, of those of you who are raised in church, those of you who grew up in church, how many of you know somebody that was in church with you that is no longer in church? How many of you guys know more than one person that was with you in those years that is still no longer in church? There's a statistic through Lifeway Research that says 7 out of 10 young adults between the ages of 18 and 30, 7 out of 10 young adults stop going to church by the age of 23. 70% of the young adults stop going to church by the age of 23. 53% of them said that it was because of a life change. Maybe they moved and they never got connected. 46 some odd percent said that because the people in the church were hypocrites and they felt judged. Some 30% said that they felt like their philosophies or their ideologies have changed. 7 out of 10 young adults who grew up in church stop attending. Out of that, by the time they're 30 years old, only 34% of the people that left ever come back. There's a gap. There's an issue. There's a problem right there. Now, let me say this. Our God is a resilient God. Our God survived all the different dark ages. Our God has survived all the different theological twists that he's put on it. And the word of God is still alive and fresh today. So it doesn't matter if the generations, you know, become apathetic to the word of God. Our God is still God on the throne. God is not dead. Our God is alive. Our God is living evermore. And he's living inside of you and I. But there is a noticeable gap in the lives of young adults. I look back, I was just thinking about it during praise and worship. Pretty much every one of my youth friends, with the exception of that guy right there and that guy right there, Pastor Joey and Michael, don't come to church. 7 out of 10. There's a problem there. And it's our job to do something to reach the young adults. Now, are they going to want to come to a mainline service? Maybe not. But it's our job to do something to reach out to the people that say, you know what, I didn't want to come. Or, you know, those of you who said you didn't grow up in church, to get into this house. Somebody's got to get you in. Somebody's got to entice you to come, because you know what? Half the world doesn't even realize that they need God. But the bottom line is, like we talked about earlier before, is that Jesus Christ in John the 15th chapter said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Jesus Christ had chosen us, his people, the people here on this place, even though the Bible says in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He chose us. So the bottom line is, we may not even know that we need him, but the bottom line is, he knows that we need him. And it's our job as young adults, it's our job as shift young adults to do something to reach the gap, to do something to reach out to those who may be falling away, those whose lives may be changing, those who may just have gotten busy with school, and now all of a sudden school turned into compromises in lifestyle, and now all of a sudden you look back at their life, and they're doing nothing for God. I can look at the auditorium in this place today, and like I talked about when Michael Espinoza came up, he's an OG. Meaning there's very few people that were here in the beginning that are still here. Why? Because life changes. I understand that life's a moving parade. And we move, we get jobs, we get married, things change, so forth and so on. But at the same time, 7 out of 10 people that are 18 to 28 years old are on their way to hell. That's the sobering fact. And we as the young adults here at the church, just not just Pastor Luke and Pastor Joe, but I'm speaking to you as well because this is your mission statement if you're in this house tonight. We as young adults have got to do something to get them into this place. We have got to do something to provide a place for them to come, to hear the word of God, to realize that they need God, to grab a hold of it, to change their life, to transform their life so that they might be impacted, that they might be affected, that they might go out as well and find those who are lost. So a service that reaches young adults and gives them next a positive environment. Shift is a place that is designed always to have welcome and open arms. It is not our job in this place to judge you where you are. The Bible doesn't give us the right to judge men. It gives us the right to judge sin. But you know what? The bottom line is I don't want anybody to be hypocrites, to say, oh, look at them. Jesus Christ speaking, as he's talking as he's preaching, he says, you want to say to somebody, look at that speck in your eye, but you forget that you got a plank, a beam, a rafter sticking out of your own eye. This house will always be a welcoming house. This house will always be a place with open arms. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday or the day before. It doesn't matter who you did it with. If you come into this house, we will love you, we will accept you, and we will do exactly what Jesus Christ has called us to do, and that is to love. Now, why am I saying this to you? Why does this matter? Because when you go out to the streets, when you go out to the people that you know, you can rest assured that as they come into this house, this is going to be a positive environment for them. For you, as you come, you may have entered into something that you regret. You may have made some bad decisions in the past week. And you can come into this house knowing that God is a God who forgives. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of unrighteousness and forgive us of our sins. This house is not a place of judgment. This is a house of love. This is a house of restoration. And this is a house of reflecting what God has called us to do. That is the bottom line for what Shift Young Adults is for. We're talking about our mission statement, continuing on. It's a positive environment that gives them a positive environment to grow. The next thing in Shift is growth. You know, we've been covering John the 15th chapter, and Jesus Christ is talking about the vine. And he's talking about bearing fruit. He's talking about expanding. I heard one time a pastor say that when you're not moving forward in your relationship with God, that's the moment you start moving backwards. Because this isn't just a sprint. This isn't just something that's, you know, a flash in the pan. This is something that is continual through the rest of our lives. You know, we're 18 years old. Some of you guys are 28. Some of you are in between that ages. Some of you are even a little older, maybe even a little younger. But you know what the bottom line is? You got plenty of years ahead of you, and the growth has to start, and the growth has to keep growing. And that's the house. That's one of the reasons that we're going to talk about the Word. That's one of the reasons that we'll always push the Word. That's one of the reasons we'll always preach the gospel. That's one of the reasons we'll always try to push you into doing something. That's one of the reasons we'll always have an altar call, regardless if people raise their hands or not. Regardless if Pastor Luke or Pastor Joe sweat it out because there's a month when nobody responds. But the bottom line is we're going to give them the opportunity to grow. Growth is what God has intended. Not just growth numerically in this house, growth spiritually, growth in the heart, growth in your relationship with God, growth in your understanding of the Word. That is our goal. That is our mission. That is our statement. That it is our pledge to make sure that that we give you the best opportunity in this place that you can grow. Because that's what we want. We don't want you to come into this place when you're 18 years old and leave 28 years old not knowing anything more than you did before. That's not right. That's why we're always going to teach the Word. We're always going to preach. Continuing on, a growth in their relationships. The next part of our mission statement is relationships. Relationships is twofold. The first part of our relationships is to encourage growth in their relationships with God. First and foremost, it is most important for us to see that you are growing in your relationship with God. It is our goal to preach. It is our mission to preach what the Word of God says, to not come up and make up words, not take things out of the Bible out of context, but to read things, to study things deeply. Whoever we put in the pulpit is ordained by God. God has told us to do so, and it is our pledge to make sure that you get the Word of God, that you grow, that Jesus Christ says that you might bear much fruit and you might be a blessing to God. Growth, relationships. Relationships are essential. First and foremost is your relationship with God. It's the most important thing. It doesn't matter about anything else. My relationship with my wife is great, but my relationship with my Lord and Savior is the most important thing in my life. And it ought to be that same with you. Second fold, the second part of the relationships, is relationships with others. This is a place where young adults should be able to come into the house and to meet somebody else. If they're like age, they're like interest, they're like whatever it might be, they're like style. Maybe you got Tom's shoes, you want to connect with somebody else that likes to wear Tom's shoes. This is the place that we want to encourage growth in relationships. Because here's the bottom line. We've all got friends. You know, you probably all got friends in your schools, in your workplaces, in your family that are out there doing the things. And you know what? It's pretty easy to go out and do the things that they want to do. But when you've got godly friends, godly relationships, people that will say, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, man, let's go out here and talk about this. You want to come and meet coffee? Let's go out here and have a good relationship. Those people stop pulling you out of the bars. They take you out of the clubs. They take you out of the things that you once were doing, and now all of a sudden you're in church. That's the reason we have relationships. I'm not trying to be eHarmony or Match.com. I'm not trying to provide you with your husband, even though Pastor Joey called out Bree last week or 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks before. It's not our goal to find you a husband. But you know what? The bottom line is I want to encourage you that the relationships can be found in here. Because if you're looking for a husband, the best place to look is in church. If you're looking for a wife, the best place to look is in church. If you're looking for a buddy that'll go out and do whatever it is with you, fishing, hiking, or go to Disneyland, go shopping, the best place to look is in church. Because the bottom line is when things happen, when life happens, your buddies in the world are going to say, oh, dude, times are tough. Let's go get a beer. But your friends in church will say, you know what? Let's pray. And let's encourage. What is that first part? Your growth, your relationship with God. That's our mission statement here. Continuing on to transition them. That's an interesting word. You know, the reason that we named Shift, or Pastor Jan and Pastor Jess named Shift, is because it's a transition. Those of you who are at the latter part of the age limitation of this service, 28 years old, 26, 27, you're starting to find yourself. You know, you look back and you see some of the kids in youth and you say, man, they're out there, dude. These youth are out there. And you look back, I was there too. We remember those days. Now we're adults. I have an 11-year-old nephew or 11-year-old brother-in-law, and he knows everything. And then all of a sudden they become 17, 18 years old, and they know everything. And it doesn't stop. Unfortunately, we become 21, 22, 23. We get that rental car agreement, and we know everything. This age group, like it or not, is the junior high of adult life. And you know it. You know it. It's the time when you're going to school. It's the time when you're trying to figure out what school to go to. It's the time when you're trying to figure out how to get back into school. It's the time when you're trying to figure out how to get a job, how to get a wife, how to get a husband, how to get a friend, how to figure out what it is that you like. How to 1 week you wear tight pants, the next week you wear baggy pants because you're just trying to figure out what's your best style. Thank God that our voices stop cracking when we are 13 years old for us guys. Although sometimes they still do. So we don't have to deal with the actual effects of junior high. But the bottom line is that this age group, 18 to 28 years old, is the junior high of adult life. It's the age where you're allowed to smoke. Nobody can say anything about it when you're 18. You're allowed to go to the bar and have a beer and get drunk when you're 21 years old. And nobody can say anything about it because now it's legal. You're allowed when you're 25 years old to go rent a car and crash it into a telephone pole because now that's what it says. That's how it goes. It's the junior high. It's the freedom. It's like, we get to do something. So Shift. We name this service Shift because it is a shift in your lifestyle. It's a shift in your thinking. It's a shift in your relationships. It's a shift in your relationships with God. So it is a transition, and our goal is to transition people. You know, There's a group. I'm trying to figure out where. Okay. There, you know, that's why there's an age group on this. That's not why we have a young youth. I don't know what you would even call it, a younger inspired service. We've talked about doing that before. Maybe doing like a more grungy type service. I don't know what you'd even call it, right? But to have it open to everybody, so that those people that are 50 years old can come into this place that are rockers, and they have that youth in their heart. That's why there's an age limitation on shift. That's why it's 18 to 28. Because it's a time that we get to minister, we get to sow into the lives of you junior hires. Okay, you're not really junior hires, but of you young adults to mold and to sow in the Word of God, so that as you go into your careers, as you go into your relationships, as you go in to the United States and all across the world, because the bottom line is in a year, some of you aren't even going to be here. You're going to be moving out and going over here and moving across the country and doing all this and doing that. That's great. But the bottom line is it's transition. It's our goal to do so. You know, I've got a friend. You know, there's people in shift that are under the age of shift, and they come through special agreement, through special arrangement. There are people in shift that we know of that are older than 28 years old. And those that I know of personally that are 28 years old, those that approach me, those that are brave enough to tell me, Pastor Luke, I'm a little too old for this, we do something with them. I've got a friend. He's not here tonight. His name's Richard Perez. Richard Perez was an intern. Richard Perez is 29 years old. No, I think he's actually older than 29. He's still 29. He's 30. He's 30 now, yeah. Richard Perez came to me and said, Pastor Luke, I'm 29. When he was 29, he came to me and says, I'm 29 years old. I can't come to shift anymore. But I'm really going to miss it. And I told him, I said, here's the bottom line. Now shift has moved from your target service to a service where you can sow into. And those people that are 29, 30, 31, 32 years old, 33 years old, they're here in the service today. We have told them that this is a place that you can come, you can get the word, but at the same time, you got to start sowing into the lives of the young adults. Because if this is a place for you to come hang out with 25-year-olds, 23-year-olds, then that's not the place. You can do that in the main sanctuary. But if you want to sow into the lives of the young adults and call this a ministry of your own, then you're allowed. Because it's a transition. We want to transition them, and finally, into active membership at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Now, I understand, as a pastor, I'm real with you guys. I know not all of you guys go to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. That's cool. That's fine. I'm glad you're here. And that just because my mission statement, our service, the mission statement of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center says that we want to transition them into active membership at the Rock, doesn't mean that you're not welcome here. We want you here. We love you here. We're glad that you are here. But understand that the mission statement of this service is to transfer, to transition people from 18 to 28 into active membership at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, not to your church. This is not a place to come to it from another church and recruit people to your service. I appreciate that you are here, and I appreciate that. I'm just being honest. I'm being tough. But this is not a place for you to take people out of this service to yours. Remember, you're guests in our house, and we love you and we welcome you here. But the bottom line is, I'm going to read you a statistic. I'm going to tell you a statistic. There are 20,000 members at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. 20,000 members. And there is somewhere between 6 and 7% that volunteer, that do something in the church. That means that there are over 18,500 people that come to this church and do nothing but sit in a chair. So our goal is to transition them, not just in the membership at the Rock Church. I'm glad that if you come into this place and you're 18 years old, and when you're 29 years old, you go sit in the main sanctuary and you listen to Pastor Jim get in your face. I'm super glad that that's it. But my goal is to get you involved, because the bottom line is when you're plugged in to the house of God, when you have fulfillment in your life, when you're doing something, like I told my buddy Kyle one time, he wanted to do something. And I said, you know what? Get in there and do something. And when you're doing something, you're plugged into the house of God. Now all of a sudden you have fulfillment. Now all of a sudden you have purpose to be here. And our goal is not only just to have a service here, but to transition those of you who are in this place into active membership, that you might go out. You guys are the next SBTs. You guys are the next, you know, ushers in the main sanctuary. You guys are the next television directors. You guys are the next children's pastors. Why? Because otherwise this generation moves on and somebody else is going to grab a hold of it. Because there's that gap. Remember that gap. So our goal is to get you in, to get you plugged in, to get you connected into the house so that you flourish. So that when you're 30 years old, you're connected. So that when you're 40 years old, you're connected. So that when you're 50 years old, you're connected. And guess what? Now all of a sudden your kids are connected. This isn't just about you. This is about the future. This is about those that come behind you. This is about those that sit next to you in class. This is about those that work next to you in the cube next to you, or that answer the phone next to you, or take the orders of coffee next to you in the work as well. Because we want to get them plugged in. We want to get them connected. Why? So that they don't go to hell. It's the bottom line, guys. That's the bottom line. So we're talking about our mission statement. Shift is a service for young adults that gives them a positive environment to grow in their relationships with God and with others, and transitions them into active membership at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Now, I don't want you to feel, if you're a visitor here, if you come from another church, the Way, from Crossroads, or from any of those other churches, I am glad you're here. I've met a bunch of you, and I am super glad you're here. So I don't want you to feel like I'm condemning you or I'm pushing on you. I love you, and I want you to keep coming. But I also want you to stay at your church, if that's the bottom line. If you come from a church, I'm not trying to take you out of your church into my church. I want you where you're getting sown, where you're getting fed. You don't ever hear pastors say that. The bottom line is, guys, is I care enough about your heart, I care enough about your soul to tell you the truth, to not beat around the bush, to not play games, to be real about it. You guys with me tonight? So we just got through our mission statement of Shift. All right, so now we know why we have Shift. All right, okay, so when you invite somebody, when somebody, you know, you say, hey, man, you guys ought to come check out this young adult service at our church. Now you know why, because it's a positive environment that reaches that gap, that gets them plugged into relationship with God and with others, that gets them involved, that gets them transitioned from this area of their life that they're not quite sure of. It gets them plugged in so that the rest of their life, there's longevity in their life, that they do something for their walk with God. You guys with me? In Habakkuk. We had a little discussion about this a couple weeks ago with our interns on how to pronounce it. Habakkuk 2:2, pretty common verse. We've heard it before. He's writing. He says, "Then the Lord answered to me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." Write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain. That's why you have cards, because I want you to write the vision and make it plain. They were supposed to put it on that card, but if you got a pen, write Habakkuk 2:2 on that card somewhere so you can remember that the Bible tells you to write the vision and make it plain. Make it in layman's terms. Make it so that you don't come back in December of 2012 and go, huh? What was my vision? I have no clue. Make it plain. Make it known what God has for you. And tonight we're going to talk about vision. We're going to talk about what God has given us. Pastor Joseph and myself, here at the church, here at the Shift, is our vision for this next year. Starting with 3 points tonight, and these you can apply to your own life, because these don't just apply to the young adults, these apply to your walk with God. Number one tonight, we are pressing forward. That is our vision. We are pressing forward. We are moving on. 2010, 2011, 2009, 2008, 2007, doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter where we got. It doesn't matter. Now, you know, we had 120 salvations in Shift in 2011. Great. Now I'm moving on. I'm pressing on. I'm growing harder. I'm pressing even more. This is an Olympic year. You know what? There are athletes right now pushing themselves to the brink so that they might get that gold. And church, you and I are going to start pushing ourselves. We are going to press on. We are not just going to stand by. We're not moseying anymore. You know, 2011 at this church was what we called a year of rest. It was a Sabbath rest for the church. It was the seventh year in this building. And we decided, in order to see what God had in store for us for the up and coming generations, we were going to take a year and be quiet. No more GNOs, no more women conference, no women rock conferences, no men's conferences, no men's breakfasts tomorrow. What? None of that stuff. We just took a year of rest to have services, to hear the word of God. And you saw the video. That's why when you come to church on the main sanctuary, you walk out those doors, you see a big old shout. because we watched that year in review video, and in our quietest year ever, we still had 12,000 people at this church saved. We still had 7 million pounds of food distributed. We still fed over 550,000 people in the Inland Empire on our quietest year at the church. Now, church, now, grab a hold of this. Now, we're moving forward. That was just barely moving at all. Now we're moving forward. And that applies to each and every one of us, because now in our own personal walks with God, we're moving forward. This is the year of the shout the church has proclaimed. That means that we got to yell it. You got to shout it out. You got to make it known. We got to push forward, because you know what? We're not moving. We're not going backwards. We're not staying the same. I don't care if I've got 20 people. I got 20 people next year that are on fire for God, that have more of God in their hearts than they did this year, because I am moving forward. And I encourage you, it's time, church, it's time to grab a hold. It's time to get, you know, batten down the hatches, because we are moving forward. Paul the Apostle writes in Philippians, the 3rd chapter in the 12th verse, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I could say it. But I press on." Paul the Apostle says, listen, God's not done with me yet. I haven't attained everything yet. I'm not fully done yet. I'm not perfect, but I press on. "That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also lay hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended." Again, he says, listen, I don't credit myself to having it all. I haven't yet gained that. What he was talking about with Jesus Christ had laid hold of him. "I don't count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm not living in 2011. I'm not living in 2010. I'm not living in 2009. I'm not living in December. Next week is February. I'm not living in January. I'm pressing forward." He says, "I forget those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Church, it is time for us to start running the race with some oomph in our step. We haven't yet attained. We are not yet perfect. We make mistakes. We don't make the right decisions all the time. But the bottom line is I'm forgetting those things in the past, because you know what? I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to live in the glory days. "Oh, but Pastor Luke, you remember what I did when I was in high school, man? Oh, me and my homies, man. It was like, oh, dude, we just had so much fun. It was the glory days. My college years." No, now is the time that we press forward. Now is the time that Paul the Apostle said, he reaches. You get the example of those guys, like, what was it? Usain Bolt, right? That's his name? The guy that won, you know? When they're running and they're trying to cross that ribbon, right? They're not running like this, right? They're not running with their torso and their top leaning back. How are they running? You always see those finished pictures and the guys are like, for those of you over here, they're like this, right? They're reaching forward. If he could break the bowl or break the finish line with his hand and that would be legal, you'd see them all be like. That's the illustration that Paul the Apostle is writing. He says, listen, I'm not just jogging. I'm not just saying, all right. No, we're reaching forward. I'm running full-fledged. You know, when you run like that, Antonio and Angelina, they got a son, Andrew. I'm sure when he starts to run fast, his head goes a little bit forward. Why? Because his head has the weight. And when his head starts leaning forward, he starts walking faster. Now all of a sudden, you're vested. When you start leaning forward and you start putting your head out, you start sticking your neck out. Hello, you start moving faster. It's time for us, church, to start sticking our necks out. It's time for us as young adults to start sticking our necks out in our workplaces, to start sticking our necks out in our schools, to start sticking our necks out with our friends that may not know God, to start sticking our necks out with our family members, because we are pressing forward. You guys with me tonight? We're talking about vision for 2012. You can tell I'm getting pretty fired up. I had to tell Joey, dude, I can't preach until the end of the month because I'm going to lay it down early. And I had to wait till Pastor Jim talked. So I didn't want to do that, you know, because otherwise we're laying out this vision. And Pastor Jim says, no, we're going to have another year of rest. I'm like, no! But thank God we don't. 2012 is the year of the shout. We're going to step out of our comfort zone this year. We're going to move forward. We're going to look back in January of 2013 at 2012, and we're going to say, holy cow. Can you believe what we've done? Can you believe how we've grown? I never got that in the Word. I remember I read that last year, and that statement, that scripture didn't make sense to me. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I understand it. Because now we're moving forward. Okay, we're talking about vision. Number two tonight, vision for the young adults. We are reaching out. Now we're moving forward. Moving forward involves our own hearts, our own lives. Now we're reaching out. Mark the 16th chapter in the 15th verse, the end of the book, as Jesus is ascending, he says, listen, go into all the world and preach the gospel to those people that are pretty. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to those that live for social justice. Go into all the world and preach. No! You guys are like, I don't understand. Everybody, everything. Everything. You see a lizard, woo! You going to tell that lizard about Jesus Christ. And then you go stomp on it. Okay, maybe not lizards. Nah, we don't stomp on lizards. We don't endorse lizard stomping. They eat bugs. That's good. But we're going to preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to reach out. You know, Pastor Joseph, myself, our wives, our leaders, we've been talking. We've been laying out some plans. Now, this is where I'm going to start telling you the things that we're going to do. Some of these things we have in place. Some of these things we're already starting, and you'll see them coming. Some of these things we are still in the process of figuring out how we're going to do them, but we're going to do them. Because, number one, we're going to stick our neck out. So, we are going to reach out. Jesus Christ tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Funny that we had already been thinking about this one, that my two previous interns, Brittany and Bree, came and sat down with me and said, Pastor Luke, we want to organize a missions trip. This year, we are going to go to the world. We're going to organize a missions trip. We don't know where, but we have some ideas. We're going to go into the world, whether it be to Mexico, right over the border, because let me tell you something, just because it's Mexico doesn't mean that they don't need Jesus. Just because we go to the heart of Africa doesn't mean that we're more holy than going to Mexico or to Canada or to Arizona. We got to go out into the world and teach each and every one of those people that don't know about Jesus Christ, give them the opportunity to know. So we are going to go. We're going to go. Doesn't mean, oh, Pastor Luke, you're going to go? Maybe. I don't know. You're going to go. So tonight, starting tonight, outside that table, Brittany's going to sit at that black desk in the outer foyer. There's going to be a little list there that says your name, your phone number, how much you think. What is the categories? Name, phone number, email, and where do you think you want to go? Because we want to hear, where do the young adults want to go? So, we are going to the world. Secondly, we're going to our city. We're going to reach out to our city. I have had enough of Javier standing in the pulpit telling us about rocking the streets, operations, stocking stuffers, or whatever it might be, and having Javier be the only young adult that goes to rock in the streets. No, he's not. I know. I see some other people that do that as well. But listen, we are going to coordinate with the outreach ministries where we are going to have a shift-specific outreach. And we're going to go out into the streets and we're going to sow into the lives of those kids, those young adults, those youths, those older people. And we're going to say, listen, we're the young adults and we're doing something about it because we are sticking our necks out for God. We're going to partner with Sean in the homeless ministry, and we're going to go reach those people that walk around this Inland Empire right down the street from the church with their carts and their baskets, and we're going to let them know that the young adults haven't forgotten about those that are down and out and that Jesus Christ loves them, and so do we. We are going to step out to them. We're going to reach out to the elderly, the forgotten, those who are free. You know, it doesn't take a 6-year-old, it doesn't take a 7-year-old to go to the convalescent ministry, to the convalescent houses, and give somebody who's been forgotten a hug. We can do it too. And so we're going to organize events where I need you guys to get on board, to stick your necks out, and to gather together. We want to go out into the community. There are people in this place that are in the process of losing houses. There are the people in this place that are in the process of they have homes, and they're old. They have injuries, so they can't take care of their homes, and they become dilapidated. Well, we want to go paint their house for them just so that Jesus, so they know that Jesus Christ loves them. We want to go mow their lawn maybe one time just to let them know, hey, listen, we love you. We're going to reach out to our community. We are going to reach out. We're going to the world. We're going to our city. We're going to the streets, to the schools. Our street teams consist of Joey, Antonio, and sometimes Jamal. Where are you at? There's Jamal. Shift street teams, there it is. Yet many of you are at campuses. Many of you are at schools, universities, trade schools, tech schools, whatever it may be. And we want to ramp up our presence at these schools. We want them to know. We go to Valley College. We go to Cal State. You know what the bottom line is? We want to get into your school. We need you to get involved in representing, being the ambassador. If you go to ITT Tech, you go to UCR, you go to RCC, Valley, CSUSB, CBU, whatever it may be, the Art Institute, wherever it may be, we want your voice there. Letting them know that God is in the house at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And there is something that they need to come and get a hold of this year. We got to go. We got to get to the campuses. We got to get to the students. You know why? Because if we don't, philosophy does. Ideology does. Now all of a sudden they think they know everything. And I don't want them to be tricked by the words, the sweet honey of philosophy. Listen, I'm not discrediting it. I think that some of it's pretty deep and some of it's pretty good. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to forget about my God. It doesn't mean that I'm going to forsake what my God has told me. It doesn't mean that I can't live what God has told me. What God has instructed me to do. But we have got to have a presence. We're ramping that stuff up. Market nights, you know, special events. We're doing that stuff. We want to get people in. So we're reaching out. You guys with me tonight? Lastly tonight. So we're reaching out, we're plugging into that. How do you apply that to your own life? You have got to reach out to. You got to tell people. You got to talk to people. You got to say, listen, man, why don't you come? You know, we're going to have different events. We're going to have different things this year like we always do. We're going to do more of them. Those are great opportunities for somebody at work to say, hey, man, you like bowling? Why don't you come bowling with us? We have an intern. Her name is Sindel. I think she's here. She says everybody's pointing at her. Sindel has a brother named Adam. Sindel got Adam to come to church through bowling. It's a great opportunity to get somebody into church who may not otherwise want to come. Because, hey, man, I'll get your bowling ticket. Let's go out. We're going to go out to Denny's, man, with me and a bunch of my friends. Why don't you come? And then you drive to church and say, what the heck? This isn't Denny's. We're going afterwards. We got to get them in. We're reaching out. You have got to reach out. Lastly tonight, as far as talking about our vision, we are reaching in. We're reaching out. We're reaching in. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 through 20. See, I told you these were simple verses. If you were raised in church, you know that there's a song, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That's the Great Commission. Jesus Christ is, again, speaking to the disciples. It's actually another translation of Mark 16, 15. And he says, 19th verse, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are going to start reaching in. What does that mean? We are going to start making disciples out of y'all. You're like, what? What does that mean? Outreach. We're going to go out into the streets. You get that. We're going to go minister to the homeless. You get that. Now we're going to minister to ourselves, to those around us. I've said it once before, and y'all, you impressed me when I asked you to come and show up at the tent, because there are 4,000 young adults in this church alone that don't come to shift. We are going to reach in. We're going to grab them from the inside and pull them in. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. We're going to start doing stuff a little bit different. We're going to start doing some things. You know, we had, in March of last year, we had a community series. We talked about preparing for something big. We talked about developing relationships. And then you all filled out little flyers that said, what would you like to see? What would you like to do? I didn't forget about those. We're going to start doing different things. We're going to start doing on the last Friday of every month. This is the last Friday of the month, so it's not going to be this Friday. But we're going to start doing the last Friday of every month. We're going to do something we call Hot Topic. Not the store in the mall, Hot Topics. You ask the questions, we answer. You know, God gives us inspiration as far as what to preach, where to go. But oftentimes, as young adults, there are things that you want to know about. So we're going to start providing, starting next week, there's going to be a box back there that's called a Hot Topic box, and there's going to be a flyer right next to it. You can ask a question. Pastor Luke, what does the Bible say about sex? Pastor Luke, what does the Bible say about Calvinism? Pastor Luke, what is about blah, 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 whatever you want to know. And we'll talk about it. Now, we may not get to everybody's, and each one of them is going to be a little different. We may have a forum night because there's so many different questions based on the same topic, or it might be a message, but we're going to do what you want to hear. You want to know what the Word says about something? You want to know what the message is? You're going to pick the topic, and we're going to tell you what it says. It's not a quiz about how much does Pastor Luke and Pastor Joey know about the Bible. My video director, my technical director, John, loves to do that. Which prophet laid on his side for a year? It's not about that stuff. It's about what do you want to know. It's about how much do you want to get out of the Word. If there's something that's been perplexing you, you read something in the Bible and you don't quite understand it, we want to give you the opportunity to ask the question. We'll tell you. Because the chances are, if you're going through it, somebody else is too. We're going to start doing group nights. You know, we do discussion questions here and there. But what we're going to do is we're going to do this 6 times a year. So once every other month, we're going to have a night where we take a 10-minute message. I know that's impossible for Pastor Luke to do. I've already gone like 45 minutes already. But we're going to take like a 10-minute message, and then we're going to have tables. And each one of these tables are going to be broken up into common denominators. If you've ever been to something like Girlfriends, you'll know. There will be tables that if you like to go hiking, then you can sit at the hiking table, and they'll talk about hiking, but then they're going to incorporate the Word of God. If you like to shop at Forever 21, maybe we'll have a Forever 21 deals table. But it's a chance for you to get to know somebody around you that may have common likes, common interests. You say, Pastor Luke, I don't want to know anybody. Guess what? You're going to learn their names. Because remember what our mission statement was. There's a reason Pastor Luke told you what the mission statement was. We're going to reach in. We're going to have group nights where you can discuss, you can talk amongst each other questions and things and relationships and testimonies or whatever it might be. We want to give you guys the opportunity to do that. We're going to have large events. We kind of fizzled out on these. The last one we had was the 50s night. And that was like so last minute, it was ridiculous. I mean, honestly, we didn't even think we were going to do it until like that night. But we're going to have large events. We're going to do things. We're going to bring back the bowling nights. We're going to bring back the broom ball, even though I'm terrified about each and every one of your health and safety as we play broom ball. We're going to bring back those nights. We're going to have the beach trips. We're going to go out. We're going to do things. The race cars. We're going to try to make a thing where we can go right after shift over here to the San Bernardino Raceway and race. We're going to do that. But let me tell you something. They're going to be different. The beach trips aren't just going to be, hey, we're at the beach. Come meet us here at this specific spot at this certain time. We're bringing the Word of God, like I said earlier. The bowling's not just about, hey, man, come do this. I'm going to make you bowl with people that you may not know so that you get to know them and you get to talk about the Word of God. Because remember, this applies to you, not just me. We're going to bring the Word of God into each and every one of our events because otherwise we're just sitting around having fun playing games. But now, when we have broom ball, we're going to have a line for healing right afterwards because it's crazy. But we're going to reach in. We're going to do things so that you guys can develop relationships with each other. And we want to facilitate that, a positive environment. You guys with me? I'm going really long, but we're casting it out. You cool with me? We're going to do small events. More intimate, more focused, more hobby-driven, more interest-minded groups. I can't, you know, do something with 50 people and be close one-on-one. Chances are, half of you 50 people in that group, I'm not going to know your name. As a matter of fact, the last time we went broom ball, that's how I knew a guy, and his name was Brian, because he about broke my arm. That's how I met him. But now we're going to do smaller things. We're going to have different leaders, different group leaders. You like to go hiking? Pastor Luke's going to do some hiking things. And we're going to go climb a mountain. And guess what? When we get to the top of that mountain, we're going to talk about the Word of God. You like to go to Disneyland? We're going to take you to Disneyland. And when we go to Disneyland, we're going to have a good old time. And then guess what? We're going to sit down somewhere really pretty where the scenery is really nice, and we're going to talk about the Word of God. You like to go, you know, to shopping. We're going to go shopping. I'm not going, Sean. Like I said, we're going to have leaders doing that. I know some of the guys wanted to go deep sea fishing. We're going to do a deep sea fishing trip. And we're going to get out there on the ocean. We're going to be sick and we're going to be throwing up. And then we're going to talk about the Word of God. We want to do things that get you guys connected to each other. That get you guys connected. If I got a group of 50 people, that's great. We can show up at the beach and we can sing loud. But I want to make sure that you over here know you over here. Because you guys both like to do this same thing. Well, we're going to connect you doing that. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort. But we're going to do it. Well, I'm almost done. You guys with me? We're going to have a discipleship program. You know, we have the Word every Friday. That's great. We got messages. But we're going to develop something before or after service. We're still going to develop this curriculum where it gets in and it pushes you deeper. It makes you through the week read certain things. It makes you through the week talk about certain things. You have a smaller group where you talk about. And we're going to have leaders. And guess what that discipleship program is going to do? It's going to push you in your relationship with God. It's going to raise you up to be the leaders, to be the next generation of what God has called you to do. We're going to do that this summer. It's going to be 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. And we're going to meet and we're going to push you. You're going to have to do it. It's going to be hard. But that's the beauty of it. We want to disciple you. We want to get you. So if that's you want hunger, you want something more than just the Word of God on 45 minutes, then we're going to have a discipleship program that's going to get it 7 days a week. We're going to have a leadership program. Many years ago, Pastor Jim and Pastor Jessica, as they were over shift, disbanded the leadership here at the church in the young adults. No, it's not their fault. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing. We had a lot of interns that year. And we found out that the interns were doing things more than everybody else. And all the people that were called leaders were kind of getting offended, getting hurt, because they were the leader over something, but somebody else was doing their job. Well, guess what? Now it's time for us to take action. It's time for us. The season has changed again. And I want to put the leadership, I want to put the ministry, I want to put the responsibility, I want to put the ownership back into your hands. If you're an usher, I want to develop leadership in the usher so where the ushers aren't just something that you come, it's something that you own. If you're a greeter, I want you to be a greeter, not to the sense that you're just somebody that shows up at the door and says hi to people as they come in, but something that you own, something that you expand, something that you go get somebody out of, something that you get them together before service and you pray with them. If you're in the band, I want to raise up the leaders so that they come in here and they learn how to be worship leaders. So they can go in the main sanctuary, they can go into the children's church, they can go into the youth or wherever it might be, and they can be leaders in that group. We're going to develop a leadership program here. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to let you preach from the pulpit. Let me tell you something. God tells me who to preach from the pulpit. So you come and you say, Pastor Luke, I really want to preach from the pulpit. Unless God tells me, you go and preach from the pulpit. You don't want to preach from the pulpit. So just let you know that, okay? That means leadership program. We've got a lot going on, but I want to tell you something. We got that. We have that for a reason, because this is the next generation. You know, from shift, I remember when Pastor Tom Flores started his church. I'm going to just conclude on this. Pastor Tom Flores was starting The Rock in South Riverside. We had a sound man. His name was Richard. He was doing our sound almost every week. Pastor Tom called me and said, hey, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. But this guy, Richard, he lives close to our church, and he really just wants to do sound for The Rock Church in South Riverside. But that means that because of gas and stuff like that, he can only come to one service. That means he may not come to your service. And he's scared to tell me that. And I told Pastor Tom, yes! You've just fulfilled our goal. Because I trained him to be a sound man, and now he's a sound man somewhere else. We had an intern here named Brian. Brian was an intern. Brian was doing great things for God. And all of a sudden, guess what? Brian took what he got from here, went up to Oregon with his family's church, and started a young adults ministry. We got Angelina and PJ. PJ's been across the world. Angelina's up here serving in the house, singing every week. And these guys are dedicated people. Why? Because we are sowing in to the lives of the young adults. We're raising them up where we got the future children's pastors here at the church. We got future ministers at the church. We got future SBTs here at the church. We got future worship leaders at the church. We got people that came, started playing in the band at shift. Now they're playing in the main sanctuary. Now they're playing in the band in the children's church. Now they're playing in the band in the youth. Why? Because I want to raise up leadership that we can spread out. It's not just about shift. It's about the will and the kingdom of God. So we're going to raise up leaders. We're going to start pushing you guys. We're going to start expanding you. We're going to make you stick your necks out. So that you get momentum moving forward. Remember, in Habakkuk 2:2, the Bible says, make a vision, write the vision, make it plain. Church, we have a vision. We are going to reach out. We are going to move forward. We're going to reach in. We're going to make it plain. We're going to shout this year. This isn't just a year of fun. This isn't just a year of that. We're going to have all of that, but we're going to do something effective and impactful for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you what, I'm not stopping. I'm not slowing. You heard me pray on January 30th or whatever it was for this Inland Empire. I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. And I want you guys to grab a hold of it. Get a hold of the vision. Write it down. Make it plain because we are moving forward. We are reaching out and we're going to reach in as well. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?